You are welcome to Faith broadcast with Pastor Tibby Peters. Enjoy the dynamic teaching, preaching, and miracle ministry of Pastor Tibby Peters, the president and pioneer of Renaissance Assembly. This message will take you from where you are to where you ought to be. Get ready for transformations.
I speak speed. Everywhere it had been slow, speed. Let the road of God run swiftly. Go back to Psalm 147, verse 15, the scripture you showed there. In Psalm 147, you just gave me the scripture now. I love how he puts it, verse 17, the scripture you just gave now, about the running, the words running. Yes. He said, he sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth what? Very swiftly.
We are in a
he runneth what? Swiftly. Say, it's like that in me this year. Say, it's like that with me this year.
It says, but
his word is running swiftly in my life.
Is impossible.
That's what we mean by the velocity of God's word. And the word is not just moving without direction.
Must believe that
we read Isaiah 55:11. He said, it accomplished that for which it was sent. So it has direction.
I believe that we are in an age where
the word of God has speed and direction. That's velocity. Say, I receive velocity of the word. Number three about the sent word is the versatility of the sent word.
We need to give more attention.
Meaning it's versatile. Versatile. Do you know that it's, see, because there are permit me to use an illustration. It's more of Nigerian
not
expression, all right? Have you ever been in
air.
You know, if you go to a bus
because
stop
we will know the
where they load cars that are going
amen
to a neighboring city or
and
neighboring town, somebody will enter the car and
Jesus
have one bottle in
know
his
the
hand. He said, this thing can
when
solve malaria,
cometh,
it can solve staphylococcus, it can solve gonorrhea. How many of you know those people?
Glory to God.
He said, only this bottle, amen. Only this bottle, it can solve all the problems. The reason why people buy is that inside the man's heart, he's looking for one thing that can solve all his problems. That one thing is the word of God.
And the earlier you learn,
that one thing is the word of God. That one thing is the word of God. Amen. Is the word of God. So when we talk about the versatility of the sent word, the word is food to the human spirit. The word is medicine to the human body. The word is a sword, amen, as a weapon, amen. The word is a mirror, hallelujah. Are you listening to me? The word is a seed, amen. You can use to start anything you want to start in your life. Glory to God. The versatility of God's word. So what can't you do? The word is a hammer. If there's something that's been giving you a problem, you want to break it down, you use the word and crush it.
Impossible. Now, this Bible you read every day,
I introduce you to the versatility of God's word today. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That means that when you have the word of God, you are armed in different ways.
Something is impossible. And the choice
no limitations
of here, it didn't say,
say no limitations.
Faith, it is hard.
So these are the things.
Said,
now,
faith,
what is the core mission of the word?
Said,
hallelujah. If you have embraced the vitality of the word, you've embraced the velocity of the word, you've embraced the versatility of the word. Now, what is the core mission of the word? Go back to Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word.
Then he said, don't worry. Start
his word healed them.
What you don't know. He will make what
and deliver what them. Everybody say, heal them.
It's possible for him.
Wow. These people here say, deliver them. Say again, heal them. Deliver them.
Everything. The omniscient one tells you something is impossible. Where are you going to?
Glory to God.
Hello.
So when God the Bible talks about healing there,
faith,
the Hebrew word is rapha or rapha, whatever we pronounce it. And what healing means,
that means there's no action,
is that,
that
there is a repair of something that was broken.
That God is pleased with.
And then there is a restoration
it
to back how it's supposed to be.
To
so the word healing, the mission of the word,
listen,
everything that is broken in your life as I'm speaking, it will repair. Physical repair, emotional repair, financial repair, spiritual repair. Because the mission of the word is healing, is repair. It's in two phases. One part is repair, repair, repair. You know, somebody could have this microphone maybe cracked. It fell down, it got broken, and then they sellotape it. But they didn't restore it back to how it was. No, God's healing is not halfway, my brother. The aim of the repair is to restore. Hallelujah. So as I'm speaking to you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive restoration. Receive restoration. Receive restoration. The Lord is not just repairing, He's restoring. Glory to God. It will look as new as it was when it first started. And I declare someone's marriage is being restored now. Someone's family is being restored as I speak. That business venture is restored. That position you lost is restored in the name of Jesus. So that's healing.
Must
the mission of the sent word
and to heal. That way.
And inside the healing, there's repair and restoration. Hallelujah.
Must.
Glory to God.
I pray that.
Say, I receive healing. I receive healing.
You must.
Now we go to the deliverance side. The glory deliverance, the scripture is talking about there, in the Hebrew is malat. Malat means to bring someone to out of something that would have killed them or harmed them. Amen.
That he is.
Listen, God is a deliverer. Amen.
Not believe that
it means
he
that
was.
God has a hatred for
believe
bondage or anything that smells or looks
believe
like bondage. And so anyone under the sound of my voice
not
that is
that
in anything
was.
That smells or looks like bondage, today is your day of release.
If someone believes that a man called Jesus
in the same way the healing
him,
has two streams,
and gone. He
repair and restore,
he
the deliverance has two streams. The first
what
stream of deliverance
Jesus
is to rescue.
Every other
I would say rescue.
Personality that
so God rescues you.
Upon this earth and did great
you could be on bound by addiction.
Alive.
The Lord rescues you.
No,
you could be bound, hell bound by Satan. He rescues you. There are people
men
that were on their way to death. God rescued them.
Jesus
and so everyone under the sound of my voice, that death had held captive, you are set free. Sickness had held you captive, you are set free. Receive the rescue of heaven. This sent word comes to rescue.
And I am alive.
It comes to rescue. I don't know if you've ever seen where maybe somebody
so anyone
was
that comes to God must believe
kidnapped
that he
or somebody was kidnapped.
You
and the
must
police arrives
that he is.
And then they shoot, and then take the guy that was kidnapped out. They rescued
the
him, right?
God. Amen.
Imagine that after rescuing him, they don't allow him to go home.
He is.
Amen. It's just another kidnap.
Not
amen.
He was.
Are we together?
Then he says,
so the deliverance of God
and
is
that
two parts.
A reward
rescue and
of
release.
Them that diligently seek him. Now, there's a way you read the King James, and you would
he
think
will
what the scripture was saying
and
was
release.
That anyone that comes to God must believe that he is, and that the one that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the way it looks. That's not what he was saying. He's talking about two things the believer must believe. Hello. He's talking about two things the believer must believe. Let's read it in the Amplified version, and then I'll come back here. In the Amplified of Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it's possible to please him and be satisfactory to him. For whoever will come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that what? He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Now, what the scripture is saying is that just as you believe he is, you must believe he is a rewarder. Now, let me say something and why this is so important. We have come to a time where in people trying to show believers light about what Christ had done, we are beginning to make people believe that there's nothing else they should do because of what Christ had done. I believe in the doctrine of identification. Amen. The doctrine of identification, meaning that what we are identifying with what Christ had done even before we were born. Amen. The Bible talks about that as the legal side of our redemption. That means that the documentation was done before we showed up. Amen. Are we together? When Jesus died, is there anybody here that was born then? When he was raised, was there anybody here? No. So he had already died for us. Amen. Now, that was the legal side of it. But the doctrine of identification will be of no use to you without another doctrine, the doctrine of activation. It means that what you identify with, you have to activate. that talks about the vital side of our salvation. Amen. Legally, it has been done. Vitally, through the word of God, we act on what has been done. And then it manifests for us. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So now, a lot of times, because of trying to tell people Christ has already done this, Christ has already done that, you know, and there are certain things that I believe that have not helped believers in the communication of the gospel. When you say, oh, God has blessed us unconditionally. I understand what you're trying to say, but is it actually unconditionally? Faith was a condition. Amen. Faith was a condition. Hallelujah. Faith was a condition, my brother. Faith was a condition. Are you listening to me? You were told to believe. Nobody can be saved without believing. No matter how God loved us and died for our sins through his son, Christ Jesus, if you didn't believe it, that salvation is of no use to you. Do you know there's a scripture that says that Jesus ever lived to make intercession for us? Does it mean we should stop praying? Amen. Himself took our infirmities. Huh? He carried, he bore our sins and he took our infirmities. Now, does it mean that you shouldn't pray for healing? Hello? Maybe I'm touching something now. So there are certain things that as Christians we are trying to establish. And in trying to establish it, sometimes we spoil something else. Hello? You spoil something else. It's just like you're talking to a young person and you say, well, go to school. Go to school. Go and get an education. Then now you want to make him understand that education is not the final answer, but education is good. But it depends on how you put it. You can now say, Bill Gates did not finish school. So are you telling me not to finish school? Amen. Hello. So you can push a narrative too far that at the end of the day, it starts spoiling a foundational thought. And that's what's happening to some believers in the body of Christ today. Hallelujah. So sometimes, in trying to establish something, I say, you need to walk. It's not about prayer. My brother, it's about prayer. Yes, we will walk. Then we will pray. Then we will walk. Then we will pray. Then we will walk like we don't know how to pray. And we will pray like we don't know how to walk. Yes. Amen. Yes. It must be a healthy balance. So you see someone that had caught light about prayer. Then somebody just comes and makes one statement and shatters all that he had done and built through prayer. In the teaching of Peter, he said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Are you with me? He didn't say, now, while you are adding virtue, subtract your faith. While you are adding knowledge, subtract virtue. That's what some people in this generation are doing. If these things be in you and abound, you will never be unfruitful or barren. Amen. So let these things be in you and abound. So, all of us didn't come from the same place. What I'm talking about is our journey of salvation. Our faith journey. We didn't start from the same place. Some people started from prayer. Then they met the word of God. Some people started from the word of God. Then they met prayer. Are you listening to me? All of us, depending on where you were schooled, where you were trained, where you were raised in the faith, we all came from different angles. Now, that foundation that was laid, when you come to a place of higher revelation, it doesn't mean you throw away what was holding you. Glory to God. When we were on campus many years ago, our fellowship on campus, there's this sister that used to attend, and she used to tie her hair and not wear earrings. She doesn't put on any jewelry. Most of the people in our fellowship are not like that. But she loved the word of God. She would come around. So one day, I was on stage, and I saw her walking, and she was putting on earrings, and she was not covering her hair. You know, the thing now looked different. Hello? So, after the meeting, I called her. I said, why are you not wearing? Now, she was surprised hearing it from me because everybody else does not wear those things. I said, why are you not wearing your hair tie? Why are you wearing earring? So, she was shocked. She said, nobody is wearing hair. I said, so now that's what I'm asking. Why? You know, she said, because I'm the only one that's not. I said, you will wear. You must wear it. Because you don't even know why they are not wearing. You are just stopping because you saw them do that. That's not how the Christian life is. Walk in the light that God has given you. Amen. Are you listening to me? Because Christianity is a journey of convictions. You must walk with the convictions of God's word has come to you. You are safer staying with the conviction that God has put in your heart. Open to knowledge, open to learning, open to growth. But be careful how you shift. I heard the story of Kenneth E. Hagin, how that he was saying that when he started getting a hold of these things from the word of God about faith, about long life, about the authority of the believer and all of that, then he's about to travel, he will just declare, I go in the name of Jesus. So his mom had been a Christian, and she couldn't understand it. He said, now, you know, there are people traditional believe that when you want to travel, you walk around the tire. You anoint the tire. You anoint the engine. Are you understanding me? Then you pray in tongues a little, and then you go. Now, you now see somebody that just says, it is well. You now follow him. You go die. Amen. Hello. Because without faith, it is impossible. Listen to me. The person that woke up and didn't feel a need to walk around his car has a light that is making him say what he's saying, making him do what he's doing. If you don't have that same light, my brother, do what you know to do. There are some people that wake up in the morning and they want to bless their meal to eat. They say, I receive this meal with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Where there are some people, they have to bind and cast every element, keparotos yaraba, in this soup, mare ketuna maya, that will alter my body chemistry. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then before they eat, my brother, if you don't have greater light, stay with that your lesser light rather than not having light at all. Are you with me? I'm not trying to convince you to stay where you are, not grow. I'm trying to help you that in trying to grow, you will not miss out and put yourself in trouble. Amen. Are you getting where we're going with this? So, in trying to show believers something, statements are made that confuse believers a lot of times. And in trying to maybe sometimes genuinely establish a new thought in the mind of the believer, you now make matters worse. So you have Christians today, in matters of prayer, there are some things they are saying that is surprising us. Amen. Surprising. Say, no, you don't need to. You know, Christ had done it all. Done it all. But Paul, the apostle of the message, told you, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, always laboring for you fervently in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete. If standing perfect and complete in the will of God is just by saying, it's done, it's done, it's done, why will Epaphras be laboring fervently? It means that when it comes to destiny, for things to synchronize, you have to stay a while. It will be shifting. And you understand? Until it aligns, then thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven has happened. The New Testament did not counsel long prayers. Fervency in prayer is trans-testament. Fervency in prayer existed before even the Old Testament, before the Old Covenant. And fervency in prayer is required even in the New Testament. Are you with me? So there are certain practices. I call them trans-testament practices. They predate the Old Covenant, but they are not just law, Old Covenant. Amen. And a lot of times, some practices, let me call them rituals, amen, were introduced into the Old Testament so that the people under that covenant could enjoy it. It doesn't mean it originated with that covenant. Let's use prayer for example. Is it the Old Covenant that is their prayer? Men have been praying before the Old Covenant. Amen. At least you know Abraham prayed. The Bible says he went to stand before the Lord in a particular place. So we know about the prayer life of Abraham. Glory to God. We know about the prayer life of several patriarchs. Amen. Long before the Old Covenant, before Moses came on the scene. So when Jesus came on the scene, he didn't say, oh, no more prayer. Instead, he started correcting how they were praying. And he was not against prayer, rather he was correcting how they were praying and the motive behind their prayer. But the principle of prayer, he didn't say it should stop. There are practices in the Old Covenant that the New Testament put a stop to. But there are certain pre-Old Testament practices that are supposed to continue as long as the kingdom of God is upon the face of the earth. Amen. Are you with me? Worship to God, for example. They were worshiping even in the Old Covenant. But when Jesus came, he said, hey. Now, this is how to worship. Glory to God. And this is what you are doing is a type of worship. See the real worship here. Amen. And that this group of people will be the true worshipers. True worship, I mean, what they are doing is really how it's supposed to be. And they must worship in spirit and in truth. He didn't say worship anymore because we're in the New Testament. The same thing about giving. Amen. Giving had been before the Old Covenant. Hallelujah. It was just incorporated into the Old Covenant as a principle that will help them to be blessed. It's Trans-Testament. So, sometimes it is the how that changed, but the what did not change. Are you listening to me? So, we have to be careful when a narrative now comes and then people say, oh, because of what Jesus did, so-and-so is wrong. And who has the guts or the right to say something is wrong when Jesus didn't say it was wrong? Do you know that Jesus never talked down on Abraham? Do you know that? He only showed that Abraham looked forward to his day. He never talked down on Moses. He only corrected what Moses was trying to teach them. Hello. But we have ministers in our day that say that Moses is wrong. Abraham is wrong. Angel Gabriel is wrong. Amen. Where they are going now is that Jesus will soon be wrong. Amen. Jesus will soon be wrong. Jesus himself will soon be wrong. But they are building courage to say it. Amen. Who are you to tell who is wrong? On what authority? Is it not scripture you are quoting? Are you with me? You know, somebody was arguing about the Bible. He's not a believer. He's an unbeliever. I don't know if he believes in God. Is either he's agnostic or he's atheist. I'm not sure which one now. So he was arguing and said, why would people be reading the Bible? It was written by men. Why would they be reading the Bible? The Bible was written by men. Then he started trying to say things contrary that he didn't agree with in the Bible. Then he said, let me show you. He now brought out a book. This book says, so I asked him, that book, is this Satan that wrote it? Amen. You are saying that this book is wrong because it was written by men, but I thought you were going to quote a book of God. Or book, at least if not for anything, at least you are closer to Satan. At least book, quote, tell me a book that Satan gave you. But now you are quoting another man. Amen. So why should I believe that man? Glory to God. But God is helping us. And light is coming to us. This generation will never be stranded. God has invested so much in us. Especially this country, Nigeria. Let me announce to you. Some of you say, Nigeria has a lot of natural resources. No, not only that. Nigeria also has supernatural resources. Nigeria is blessed with both natural and supernatural resources. The gift of men. A nation is blessed by the quality of the prophets and the pastors and the ministers that are in that city. God has blessed Nigeria with ministers of the gospel. That's why the devil is fighting. Amen. Amen. Do you know what the church in Nigeria is doing around the world? Massive things. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That suggests that they will attempt, but they will not prevail. As you go back to wherever you're coming from, you will see that the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. Now, I said all of that to say this. There's a scripture I read in Ecclesiastes years ago. It said, do not be overmuch righteous. That means that some people that are more righteous than God. God's word, go back to Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Then, number two, you must believe that he is a rewarder. You say, well, as I came to God, I don't want anything. My brother, I don't know what is wrong. You know, and then some people try to, I don't know whether it's morality that is a higher level of morality than the God's level. You know, there are some people I feel that are so critical that they feel that God has started backsliding. Amen. Yeah. Some people believe that God has started backsliding. God, read your scripture. If God didn't want to answer your prayer, will he ask you to pray? No. If God doesn't want to answer, is God afraid of you that he says pray when he doesn't want you to pray, but just say pray? Then he doesn't want to answer. If God said pray, it means he wants to answer your prayer. Then now you now say, I'm not praying because I want God to answer my prayer. What do they talk? I don't get it. Amen. The prayer was not your idea in the first place. You are not the one that suggested to God that he should answer prayers. God was answering prayers before you were formed in the womb. Then he said, pray and I will answer. That he delights in your prayer. Then you start the prayer, you say, Father Lord, I'm not praying because I want anything. No, God wants you to want something. It is righteous to want something. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. There is no unrighteousness in wanting something. That's what I'm trying to correct. In the same way, somebody say, well, as I'm sowing this seed, I don't want anything from God. No. He wanted you to give and receive. The principle of giving and receiving is God that initiated it. It's just like somebody takes a seed, goes to the back of his house and plants a maize or whatever. He says, I'm not planting because I want anything. I'm just planting. Why are you planting it? As long as you plant it, something will come out. Is that not so? And God now created a system where you can deliberately plant because you want to deliberately harvest. Are you with me? So, God is introducing himself to you that he is a rewarder. You are not the one that suggested he should reward. Rewarder is who he is. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm preaching to the right church. Let me go to Mr. M, their church. Amen. Rewarder is who he is. It's not who he's pretending to be. And he's saying that anyone that comes to him must believe he's a rewarder. No, you didn't get it. You must believe he's a rewarder. Now, listen. You can believe that God has resources, but you don't believe that he blesses. You know, some people say, well, we don't worship God for what he gives to us. We worship him because all that is balderdash. If you read in, I believe it was Hebrews 6, he said, for God is not unrighteous. Let's stay in the Bible. God is not unrighteous to forget your work. That means that it will be unrighteous of you not to reward your efforts. Amen. That means that God will not be himself if he doesn't reward you. He'll be acting out of character That's what I'm saying. God will be acting out of character if he doesn't reward you. Because he's a rewarder. Can someone shout he's a rewarder 3 times? He is a rewarder. And that is key. You must believe that. You must believe that.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have been blessed, please reach us via WhatsApp on 090-8499-0878. You can also send us a message on info@faithtofaithonline.org. For more messages, log in to our 24-hours radio platform, radio.faithtofaithonline.org. Join us this Sunday at Renaissance Assembly for a life-transforming experience at Plot 5, Sarnia Batcher Road, GRA, Phase 3, Port Harcourt. First service, 8 a.m. Second service, 10 a.m. Renaissance Assembly, the Church of the Moment and the Church of the Future.